Our reading this morning is Psalm 77. We'll read verses 11 to 15. I will remember the deeds of Yahweh. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Our second reading is Deuteronomy 4, 9 to 10. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before Yahweh your God at Horeb when he said to me, "Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children." Thanks be to God for his word.
So please join with me in prayer. Father God, we ask your Holy Spirit to come into our presence here, and we thank you for your presence, dear God. We ask you to hear our prayers as we unite our hearts and minds and come to you boldly to your throne and ask for these things in prayer. Father God, we ask your blessing on Pastor Ryan and Cindy as they attend the conference in Banff. May it bear fruit, and they would return rested and with new vigor and with great zeal and with great learning as they apply what they've learned to our congregation. We pray for safe travel for them. Father God, we ask you to bless our various activities at our church, particularly the GLC groups that are going on. We pray that they've been well attended and that there has been good work done there and good learning and great fellowship, and that they have been very well received by those who are there. Father God, we ask for prayer for and indulgence for our finance committee, Wayne and Betty Ann, Norm and Jean, as they contemplate the financial situation at our church. We ask for prosperity and generosity through this time. Father, we ask you to look kindly on our interactions program and the potluck and the growing ministry in that area, and for success for the event next Saturday and interactions, and bless those who are involved. We pray for many volunteers to come forward and many workers in the vineyard in that area of ministry. Father, as we come into the time and prepare for Christmas time when we celebrate the birth of your Son, we pray for the various activities that are coming up for the Christmas production and all those involved, and other pre-Christmas activities as we look forward to the holiday season and to coming into the time that we celebrate your birth. And Father, this week, as Remembrance Day approaches on Wednesday, we pray for consolation and peace for all those who have lost loved ones in the past and also over the more recent times through various conflicts throughout the world, and our Canadian fallen soldiers. We pray that those who remember on the Wednesday, and if they can't, that they would spend some time in prayer and reflection about those who have given their lives for our country. Father, we ask for the great discernment and wisdom as we contemplate the refugee opportunity that has been presented before us. We know that you ask us to open our hearts and our doors and to welcome those who are less fortunate and who need solace and comfort and need to be welcomed into our community. And Father, we know that there are many other requests here in our hearts, and today there are our neighbors and friends and family who have various needs. We have people here who are hurting and who need healing. So Lord, we just unite our hearts together as a community of prayer to ask you to come in and bless us and give us strength, give us mercy. We thank you for your grace, O Lord. We pray all these things in the name of your loving Son. Amen.
Thank you, Ed, and everyone else that was leading us this morning in worship. It's a real gift that you bring us, and we're grateful for that. My name is Skip Phillips, for those of you that haven't met me. And I have the privilege of stepping in for Ryan today while he and Cindy are away at retreat, as Ed had prayed for. Since I'll be reading the section or the final scripture reading and bringing the message, I'll just lead right from one into the other here. So our final scripture reading is John 14, 19 to 27. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Let's ask the Lord to lead our thoughts. Jesus, we got to read just now your words that you said so long ago to a little group of your disciples. And now we're many, spread all over the world, but here again, we're a pretty small group in this congregation this morning, but we believe your promise that you said you'd be here with us. There's more than two or three, and we believe that you are here with us. And so we ask in this next little while that through what you have helped me to prepare, your people would be fed, and that we'd all be encouraged by the truth that comes from you, the truth that you reveal to us by your Holy Spirit, deep within our minds and hearts. So we ask your mercy in having understanding and being able to have our thoughts focused on you during this time. Amen. Remembering is so important, isn't it? As I said, I'm stepping in for Ryan this morning, but I've already kind of failed as the Remembrance Day preacher. I was supposed to grab my poppy on the way out the door from my other jacket, and I didn't. So right away, I thought, that's ironic. A sermon on remembering, and I forgot my poppy. But it is important. Memories of our life experiences shape our identity, our own understanding of who we are, and our own perception of what reality is. That's big. It's also subtle, as we don't often think about it. It just is. It's something that just happens. But to some of you, memory is something that is constantly on your mind. Either you're having trouble with your own memory, or you're caring for someone who is. So you know and see how critical the memories of a healthy brain are to life and to daily functioning. It's a heavy, constant burden. But to all of us, we use memory on a large and small scale all the time, and it's part of our waking function for living. I never really thought about it too much until last week. You see, one of the casual jobs that I have right now is working for a funeral home, and lately we've been working in pairs on one of the duties that I have. But sometimes I have to do my duties on my own, and often they're in the middle of the night. So it suddenly struck me last week as I was racing off to the funeral home that I was conscious that I couldn't remember everything that I had to do when I got there. I started worrying about, what is my alarm code? I kind of forget that. And I was like, oh yes, I need to fill out that form before I head out to the hospital. I can't forget that. And then, was there anything else I had to take? I can't remember. Suddenly I was panicking, because when there was another person, it was easy for the two of us to do the job together, to remind each other of what had to happen. But when I was on my own, suddenly I started to doubt everything. But don't worry, I did well. However, on the way home, the same thing started to happen. As I was driving, I was like, did I set the alarm? I really can't remember. And I have to think back, oh yes, okay, I did. And then I think, wait a second, did I shut those doors that I was supposed to downstairs? Yes, yes, I did that. So I had to run through everything again to remember what I did do. So memory had an important part of what I did before I did the job, and then after, making sure that I did it properly. So I realized my memory has an active function as well as a reflective function. Now, this isn't exhaustive of how the memory works. It's just an observation that I happen to have. Then I thought about the pet fishes that we have at home. Naturally, that's where my mind goes. A long time ago, somebody told me that scientists concluded that goldfish have a 3-second short-term memory span. So first of all, how could they know that? I don't know how they could figure that out. Now, I don't know if it's true, but regardless, can you imagine an existence like that? No wonder fish have that vacant stare all the time, if it is true. But really, can you imagine life without memory? No memory at all. I thought last night that maybe that could work for an earthworm, a creature with a very simple existence. But for us, creatures made in the very image of the living God, it just wouldn't work. So memory is a gift. It's a tool that we have to use for daily living. For example, when you wake up, you remember where you are, who's in your home. Usually you remember what day it is. The slippers that you put off when you went to bed are still on the floor. You remember where your bathroom is, and you're not surprised when you look in the mirror thinking, I thought I had brown hair. It's blonde. You remember how to turn on your coffee maker. You remember the route for walking the dog in the morning and getting back home. You remember what you wanted to thaw for supper and you get it out. You remember the time that you need to get out the door, where your keys are, and so on and so on. Throughout the whole day, your memory is active and working. We need to remember a lot in order to function, and we generally do remember a lot of that kind of stuff. But what about the big things? The things that shape our view of life. Do we remember that stuff all the time? How good are we at that? Let's read Deuteronomy 4 again. I know we just read it, but sometimes it's good to read things through a couple of times as different things stand out. Moses is saying to the people, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before Yahweh your God at Horeb when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach those words to their children. So Moses is warning them not to forget. Why? Well, apparently he knows that they are going to forget, that they will forget. And perhaps that's because the people of Israel had already forgotten God a bunch of times. Perhaps because we are all like that, not just those people at that time, like the Israelites were crazy or something, but all people. We all forget the big things. Then Moses commands them to remember. That's interesting. Don't we all use those two phrases? Don't forget. Don't forget to get some milk. Don't forget to take your pills. Don't forget the car needs gas. And sometimes we do forget, right? Oh, rats, I forgot. And we excuse it. It's common. We all forget things. Even when we're warned about it, we forget. But remember? That seems more concrete, direct, stern even. It's a charge and a duty. Is that fair, though? Like, don't forget and remember. They're kind of the same thing, right? Well, one seems passive, and the other appears to be active. Forgetting is something that tends to happen to us. Remembering is a choice that we make, an action that we do. There seems to be more onus on us when we change that phrase to remember. Remember the milk. Remember to take your pills. Remember, the car needs gas. So we tend to do something to remember, something deliberate and specific, when we know, hey, I need to do this. Like this coming week, obviously, you all know the answer, but what do we have this Wednesday? We've got Remembrance Day. I knew you all thought it. You're all correct. So almost for 100 years, we have celebrated Remembrance Day. And it's a day meant to remember all the people that went and sacrificed themselves, whether they lived or died, when they went and fought for freedom, like Linda was talking about. We're remembering them. We don't want to forget about them or for what they did for us. Now, this holiday is celebrated all over the world, not just in Canada, US, UK. It's all over the world, sometimes on different days, sometimes with a different emphasis, but usually centered on that idea of remembering other people have done something so that we can live in the freedom and goodness that we have today. Here in Canada, it's been legislated. It's a holiday. We take the day off. Not everywhere in the world does that. Not even in every province in Canada, actually. So, as a society, we've said that this is something important. Something that we don't want to forget. So we take one day every year to remember. It's deliberate. It's very purposeful. So Moses is telling the people to remember. But what are they supposed to remember exactly? I'm going to read on from chapter 4 there. Listen to what they're supposed to be remembering. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, that promise, the 10 commandments which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on 2 stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time, it's Moses, to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So, what did you get out of that? What are they supposed to be remembering? The 10 commandments. Okay, yes, that's in there. His words, God's words, yes. Decrees and laws. Mm-hmm. Flaming, smoking, fearful mountain. So what did all that amount to, though? Listen to verse 10 again. Remember the day you stood before Yahweh your God at Horeb. They're being called to remember that specific experience with God. It was real. That was undeniable. Up close. Powerful. Scary even. I'd be scared if I was there. They had a real encounter with God, and that's what Moses is telling them to remember. They were about to enter a land where each house had a little altar with a little cool, weird-looking idol on it, where each city had a fantastic temple with big, cool, scary, beautiful, strange idols. See, when they saw these things, they would be impressed by them. We all are when we go to some new city and you see some wild building. It's like, wow, stop! And you take a picture, you know, because that's something you haven't seen before. It impresses you. And I'm sure the kids would be asking, who is that? What is that thing that's there in that temple? But mom and dad would say, that was their God. Wow, amazing. Then the kids might ask, where's our God? What does he look like? See, they were being called to remember that their God was totally unlike these false but very visible gods made by people. Totally unlike those gods that they were about to encounter. They were to remember that day that they met him at Mount Sinai. The smoke, the flames, the fear, the words they heard. They were to remember that day and their experience with God. He had no form. He was not made by any of them. He is not like any of the other gods of the other nations they were going to meet. He alone is God, the Almighty. So that day itself wasn't going to sustain them, but remembering that day. Just as all of you married people that are here, it's not your wedding day that keeps it together, but it's remembering it and the promises that you made that does. So to be a faithful people of God, it was necessary to remember and keep on remembering that defining moment, that overwhelming experience of meeting God and knowing He is God. Has that changed for us, really? It's a long time since Moses was making these charges to the people. Let me ask you seriously and personally, have you had a defining moment with God? Or maybe you've had many experiences with God. I'm talking about deep, meaningful, undeniable contact. Those moments where you suddenly realize, wow, there is a God and I know him. I know who he is. I hope so. If so, it's important that you remember that. Now, I don't have this written in here, but as an aside, if any of you haven't had that experience, I don't want you to start panicking. But also, I don't want you to start hearkening back to look for a time in your life where you saw smoke and fire pouring from a mountain, because I certainly haven't had that. And I think most of us who have experienced God in some way haven't had something that dramatic and wild happen. Although when you talk to some saints, they have a pretty neat story. And some of them have a time in their life when they said, yes, in that moment I knew I heard from God. And often it's in quietness. Often it's in something so subtle, and maybe even so simple. But many of us have had those experiences. But it's important to remember those things. And if you haven't had that, start looking for it and asking, is God trying to meet me in some way? Open your heart to that. Because we need to remember those things. And why? Because it's the same as it was, or it's the same as it is for us as it was when Moses was preaching. There's a lot of flash and glitter out there in the world, as well as a lot of weighty, authoritative sounding stuff that grabs our attention and cries out, hey, look at me, I'm God, this is reality, embrace this. It happens to me all the time. For example, when we just turn on the TV at night, CBC is great for little snappy documentaries that grab my attention, especially if they have a narrator with an English accent. They sound so much smarter. God is laughable. You know, I believe that more than if it was done in some other accents. But I easily get impressed by these things. And when you start to, you know, they have person after person describing their viewpoint on life, or, you know, kind of talking about the silliness of God and the necessity to, even this one I watched the other day about cheating death, you know, that somehow we can figure out how to make our bodies go on indefinitely if we just kind of figure out some certain keys to the way that we're made physically. And these things sound really impressive. So many things like that call us away from what we actually know. They impress us and they wow us and they make us kind of, wow, is that really true? I thought I knew it was true. It seems like this other thing. These people are so convinced. How do I know what I know is true? These things tempt us to bow down to them as the source of life and truth instead of what we ourselves know. But wait, doesn't all this remembering stuff, like telling ourselves we need to remember our own experiences with God, doesn't this mean that we aren't being open-minded? That we're ignoring scientific discoveries, other worldviews, or just plain common sense, or public opinion changes all the time, right? Shouldn't we kind of jump on board? Are we just doing our own form of brainwashing? Kind of our head in the sand living? It's a good question to ask. And we need to ask that of ourselves, because we need to be honest and real. No, I don't think we're being closed-minded or dishonest. No more than we can say that of other people who have their strong opinions and views. We could say that of them if we chose to do. The key is, have you had a real encounter with God? Have you? One that changed you, or more than one that changed you. Think about it for a minute. I'll actually make a pause here. Think about, have you had some encounter with God that shaped the way you are today, changed the way you were? No pressure. So it's going to take some time to figure that out, but maybe something did pop in your head. I thought about it one night last week because I thought, it's not fair to throw these questions out to you guys but not ask them of myself. Although I have more time in advance to think about it than you do. You'll have time later this week. But I want you to really think, have you had an experience like that? You know what I found when I thought about it last week? I had a bunch of encounters with God during my life. A blessed bunch. And here's the thing. I had forgotten about some of them. Until I started thinking about it, there were some things I had actually forgotten about. Until I took the time to think about it. Then I remembered. I was actually very encouraged after that. But these real encounters, remembering them and keeping them in your mind, recalling them, they're going to sustain you when you're bombarded by lies from the world, from the evil one, from your own sinful whispering of your old desires and your pride. If any of you here, you don't need to be ashamed as a Christian and a churchgoer, but if any of you here walk through a casino at some point, okay, good. I thought I was alone for a second. Yes, and you can justify it. Oh, it was on the way to the buffet. I'm sorry, I had no choice, right? But if you've ever walked through a casino, that is overwhelming. There's lights and there's music and jingling and ringing and people and flashing. Like, it's wild. You need to purposefully tell yourself when you're going through there that that's not reality. You need to actually, it's so in your face that it's hard to believe there's a blue sky above the roof that you're under at that moment. It's the same thing in this cursed creation. And I mean that in the literal way about cursed creation. Things are not out there as they were when God first made them. Our sin has tainted everything. We need to strive to work to remember that there is a greater, unseen, perfect, eternal reality found in the person of Almighty God who loves us. But here's something beautiful for you to add to your encouragement today. You don't have to rely alone on your own personal experiences of God to sustain you. I mean, it's good, but you don't have to rely alone on those. You also get to hearken back to the experiences of God that other people had. The mighty power which they witness. For example, I want you to listen to David in Psalm 77. Again, We already read this one, but listen to it for a second. Actually, I'll skip through the first part because I want to have time for the second part here. But David is saying, I am going to remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember the miracles of long ago. I'm going to meditate on them. I'm going to consider all his mighty deeds. It's kind of saying, who else does miracles like this? You showed your power. You redeemed your people. So David is choosing to remember and to think about what God did for his people. He dwells on God. He dwells about the fact that God led his people through the Red Sea. Listen to how he writes it. In verse 16, the waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters. Though your footprints were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. That's really cool, isn't it? What is he talking about? He wasn't there. Yet he describes it like he was. That's not how it's written in the scriptures. But you can tell he's imagining that he was there. He was experiencing it himself. But we say, well, that's okay. He was a poet. He's allowed to do that kind of stuff. But so are you. And we need to. David did not see the people going through the Red Sea himself. He wasn't born yet. But that story was passed on to him from father to father to father, son to son to son, parents to children. That was passed on, and he believed that it really happened. Why? Why did David believe that that really happened? It's because he had his own experiences with God that gave him a foundation for being able to say, yep, that stuff really happens. God really is. So he could read the stuff that happened before he was alive and say, I believe that happened, because I've experienced it myself. So your personal encounter with God is critical to believing those personal encounters of others. Once you've had that, a whole wealth of other saints' stories and experiences are open to you to remember, embrace, and be encouraged by. They keep you holding on to the true Lord that you already know yourself. So how do you make sure to remember all this stuff? How can we do that? Well, Moses told his people. As we continue, that was a long talk he had with his people, a lot longer than ours will be today. But in Deuteronomy 6, he says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. And when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So basically, tuck it down deep. Get it way down into the core of you. Find ways to remind yourself of all the time about what God has done, about what you know of him. Teach your kids. If you don't have kids, teach other people's kids. Talk about it. Think about it all the time. Wear it. Look at it. Decorate with it. Announce it publicly. We need to keep it forefront in our lives. All those experiences of God, we need to keep them right here. So how are you all going to do that? How are you at doing that? How are you keeping those soul-shaping experiences foremost in your mind so that you're able to simply live with God in this world that's so full of clutter? Well, what do you do when you're running out the door in the morning and someone says, oh, remember to pick up a package of noodles when you get home? So the answer is, you find some way to remember, to remind yourself that's going to work for you. Right? So let's begin by talking about what we already do. You're here. So this is a good way to remember the Lord Jesus who saved you. You guys come here, many of you, every week, and you sing songs to him. We pray to him together. We hear his words in the scriptures. We hear God's stories in the other parts of scripture. We have a person bringing a message from the front, such as I get to do today. It's a reminder. By coming here, you're providing yourselves with a weekly reminder of God and his activity in your life. So good job. Keep it up. Don't stop doing this. That's one way. Okay, I just have to ask. I never take sermon notes. But does anyone here do it? Even one of you? Is anyone? Okay, good. for the sake of anyone who's doing it, that's kind of point number one. If you want to think of how can I actually remember to keep God and my experiences of him in my mind, that's numero uno. Come here every week. It's going to help. Speaking of weekly, this is point number two. God has given us a gift, one day in seven, of being able to step away from all that beckons and pulls upon you to rest from it all. An opportunity to do something different, like reflect, be still, enjoy, rest. What does Exodus 20 verse 8 say? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy or set apart. There's something important in doing this. Really, I challenge you to try it. And remember, it doesn't have to be Sunday. If work or duties or whatever keep Sunday from being Sabbath to you, find another day. Try that. That's another way we can remember. So that's number two. So those are two weekly things we can do to remember. What about daily? So seriously, what do you actually do in daily life to remember all the things you have to do, all the normal things? Try doing the same for recalling God and all his goodness. So, for example, this week I had to remember to send in my sermon title and scriptures to Jen Gorell at the office so that she could print out the bulletins. I was really worried I was going to forget. So what did I do? I wrote a little sticky, put a piece of tape on it, and put it on the bathroom mirror because I thought, of all things, that's one place I know I'll go tomorrow and I'll look in the mirror and be like, oh, I got to send that stuff to Jen. So I did that. It was a reminder to me. And it worked because you can see in the bulletin, the sermon title's there. All right. So also, Melanie gave me a great gift one time. I was renovating in the basement. I was really frustrated, uncertain how to do a number of things. And the sneaky, sweet lady started writing sticky notes and putting them on the mirror down there. So, and she didn't tell me she was doing this. I would walk in and all of a sudden there was a sticky about some message about, you can do it. You know, I believe in you. Jesus is with you. He believes in you. You can do it. You know, and just constantly I would come down and there's these stickies and they really lifted me up. They made me mindful that God was there with me and he could help me with my renos and figuring it out. And you know what? It worked. As well, I have some good friends that do a really neat thing. The lady of the house, she writes scripture and sort of like some sort of erasable marker on the mirror, the bathroom mirror. All around the bathroom mirror and on the fridge, she writes scripture passages and she pops the family's names in it. So if things might say like, remember that the Lord is with you. She remember that the Lord is with you, read, and you know, and she would put the names of the family members in there. And my friend said, what an impact that had on him, where he'd drag himself into the bathroom someday and look up and there's a message there. It's from his wife, but ultimately that message is leading his mind to God. That was a great reminder of God being with him, and it lifted him up. So there's three little great ways that you can do something at home to remind yourself that God is there. That he is real. He's in your life. You know him. What about pictures? Art. I'm sure you all have paintings, pictures, symbols, something on the walls of your house. Why not put things up that remind us of God and of his strength, his beauty, his love? I'm not saying you have to have that picture of, you know, Jesus with the sheep. Or, you know, standing at that door getting ready to knock. I mean, those are nice, and if you have them, I'm not mocking them. But as long as you have something up in your house that when you see it, you think of God, or some experience you've had of God, put it up. Put them up everywhere. Because everywhere you look, you're going to be mindful of God. You know, and we could do that here too. Sometimes when your mind is wandering, like, I don't know what you look at when you're here, but I often look at that cross because it's something on the wall. And it makes me think, oh yeah, Jesus died for me. You know, so do things like that for yourself that help you. So that's maybe a fourth thing. Fifth thing. Pastor Ryan spoke about sitting and eating. Well, what do we often do before we sit down to eat together? That's right. We say a little prayer, right? Mostly. Mostly. But do it. Keep on doing it if you are doing it. My challenge is change it up once in a while or add to it. And if you have kids, get them to say the prayer sometimes. It's pretty amazing some of the prayers that they'll do for you. So keep it meaningful. Whether it's something you do privately when you're at work or out at the mall or whatever, or if it's something that you do socially when you're with a group of people who are going to eat together, pray to God before you eat. It's a great reminder. He's there with you and He's provided this food for you. Who's ever kept a journal? I have. I'm a man. I've kept a journal. Anyone else? Okay. Not many journal takers, but there are some of you. Now, important thing here is, well, I don't know about you. Last time I wrote in mine was a long, long time ago, and I hate starting an entry with, it's been 1 year and 4 months since my last entry. So if that becomes overwhelming to think, I don't want to write something before I go to bed tonight or whatever, try this instead. Take one of your old journals, open it up, and read a passage. Read what your life was like years ago. I think you'll discover that you'll see where you were with God then and be able to compare it where you are with God now. It's a really neat action, but do it. It'll remind you of how God has been active in your life. So give that a shot. Music. I'm sure there are many of you who like music. This would be another point. I know we don't have a Regina Christian radio station, but there's all sorts of online stuff that you can get. Or you might have your iPods, CDs, whatever. Find some Christian music, if you're going to listen to music, or find any music that leads your mind to truth and reality about God's goodness, and play those things. And of course, there's reading Bible, there's praying, and there's meditating. And some of you might have said, hey, that should have been at the top of the list. And you all expected me to say it at some point, I'm sure. But to some of us, that can be an overwhelming action, or something that even seems dry. So, what I'm encouraging you to do there is find your way to do it. Some way that makes sense to you and that's meaningful. Let God help find you a way to do it well that helps you remember your life and experiences with Him. And if you're really having trouble there, get some saint to help you. But not just to tell you, hey, this is how I do it the same. Get them to figure out who you are and what you need and to help you develop something there. My point in all of this is that there are lots of ways to remember. Lots of actions we can adopt deliberately to bring to our hearts and minds constantly to the experiences we've had of God. I'm almost done here, so hang on, everybody. Keeping God foremost on our minds is going to shape how we view the world. When you put on sunglasses, everything is tinted by whatever the lens is. When you view the world through your experiences with God, everything gets clearer. Or ought to get clearer. That's the goal anyway. God's people forgot Him. We read it in these pages. Many, many times, over and over and over. In their crisis and in their times of ease, they forgot about God. And it led to evil and to ruin many times over. Forgetting about God, what we know of Him and what is true, it's going to lead to pain, confusion, and a sense of lifelessness for us as well. So we're going to need to work to remember. But don't worry, you're not alone in this. For one thing, you have each other. We can all help each other remember God. But even greater, Jesus promised the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom He said would come to us and live within us and lead us into all truth. So you've got Him. If you've let Christ in, His Spirit is within you and He is going to help you. Ask Him to. He seriously will. This week, maybe even on this day of rest, maybe on another, my challenge to you is to ask the Counselor of our souls to remind you of those defining moments of your life with Him. where you felt Jesus was with you, where you knew he was real, and where you believed he really is going to come back sometime. Let him bring all those old experiences to your mind and set them deep in your heart. Put reminders up all around you where you work, rest, eat, play, and be reminded at all times of him. So here's something a little different. I'm going to finish while the worship team is coming up. So you may come up now if you please. They have one final song, I believe. Awesome. So, I want Remembrance Day this year and every year to remind you that we tend to forget. That's why we have these things. We must choose to remember constantly what we know to be true. We need to build opportunities to remember into our lives if those things are going to happen. You have to be deliberate about this. The Lord revealed himself to you so clearly in the past at certain points is still with you, even now, here today. Remember that and rejoice. So let's go out and remember God and all that he's done for us.